You know what it'd be. That's right. That's right. Parish of the Patriots is back once again. Another week has flown by, and I'm excited. I'm excited to be back with you this week. I'm recording this show on Saturday. Friday night, I was getting ready for bed, and I was actually just like pumped, excited, ready to sit down. Don't know why. Just in the mood for the fellowship this week. Glad you could join us. And hopefully, maybe there's some new ones of y'all listening if you are new around these parts. So we kind of just have a general discussion. There will be a Christian-specific segment later on in the show. And if you're not a believer, you may still want to stick around. I got regular non-believers who say they enjoy that part of the show. It's up to you. If you're an atheist spurg and you want to bitch about it, then, you know, that's tough shit. We do what we do. We do what we do here, but we do have a Christian-specific segment sermon, if you would. That's going to be later on in the show. This is the 120th installment of this show. Hard to believe. Time flies. Time flies when you're having fun. Needless to say, this show is supported not with horrible spam ads. Spam ads drive me crazy, you know? I try to watch my Korean dramas. And you get these sites that if you don't have a good ad blocker that works around their algorithms, they're impossible to watch. I don't want to see something about, you know, my stepmom can't keep her hands off of me and other degenerate shit. I'm trying to watch Korean wholesomeness here. And these spam ads, they don't want to let me do it. But thankfully, you know, with Brave browser, and you can usually bypass the degenerate spam ads, the attempts to, infect your computer with all sorts of venereal disease, computer venereal disease. So, yeah, anyway, no, we don't have that is the point. You don't have spam ad here. What we do have is voluntary support by you, the listeners. Don't be cheap. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It is much appreciated. You can find that information at the bottom of the description page. No, it does not mean you have to sit there and read through the description page. I don't think anybody does anyway. I've been thinking about one of these days because I write the description page. And I've been thinking about one day just to make a complete troll article out of the description to see if anyone actually reads it. Just write out a complete troll thing. Has nothing to do with the show. Just to see if anybody's like, hey, what was that? Yeah, see if anybody actually, I don't think they do. You can skip to the bottom. We got snail mail. All that's at the bottom of the page is what I was getting to say. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got Monero. If you have a weirdo cryptocurrency, drop me an email for that email address down there, too. I'll do my best to get you an address for that as well. And drop me a note because we're going right in here. Listener supporter mailbags, one of my favorite things from the show. We're launching right off into that. GPD, keep up the great work and God bless. That's from Mr. T, one of our weekly supporters. Very much appreciated. Totally Anon from Arizona. I got no note in here, but it did receive and very much appreciated Anon. And by the way, with your notes, I'm generally pretty good. You know, if you got something in, you drop a note and you're like, well, I don't want you to read it. Just specify. As a general rule, I'm pretty good. Like, I'll go through these. I'll edit them down so we got time. And if somebody puts something in there that I think is, you know, that's kind of personal, I usually try to edit that out. I think if I do say so myself, I think I do a pretty good job. Let's keep rocking here. GPD, things are still ratcheting up in England. They're trying to scare people with the Indian variant. Of course, the deadly virus, which seems to work with the gullible masses still wearing masks. Just listen to an Indian chap in Mumbai confirming that nothing unusual is going on. Also in Pakistan, the scare tactic is the English variant. There's so many variants of this deadly virus. The intention to intensify the reset agenda is obvious. They're now testing wastewater in the completely arbitrary PCR test to identify areas of the country that need special attention. This gives them carte blanche to impose whatever they like in particular neighborhoods. Hopefully, the scale of vaccine damage will start to penetrate public consciousness despite the complete lack of media coverage. We'll need all the physical, mental, and spiritual fortitude we can muster. Keep up the good work. Thanks and best wishes from Patty. Yes, this doom virus. I could tell you, I could just do nothing but doom virus on this show week in, week out. I mean, it is. And as you've pointed out here, I was saying the other day to somebody, I said, you know, at this point, you know, how do people not get it? I mean, really, how do people walk around? Because here in Texas, they did lift the state mask mandate, and yet you still have some businesses that are mandating masks. And you still have people that are walking around voluntarily wearing the masks. I call them the true believers. They're wearing their masks. It's a virtue signal. Because how do you not see it at this point? How is it that people are convincing themselves that the government has somehow become benevolent overnight? Overnight, and suddenly is really, 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 really worried about your health and well-being. Why would anybody think that? I always say, I was thinking the other day, and this is one of the things I try to point out to people on a regular basis. The same government that did the Tuskegee experiment, you know, and intentionally infected black men. And no, I'm not doing the poor innocent blacks. I mean, this is a fact. This is a thing that happened. They intentionally infected blacks with syphilis just to see what would happen. The same government now is running around telling everybody that they're really worried that we're going to catch the flu, and they really, 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 really want you to take this shot, to take these shots, to get the vaccine. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's in it. You don't know what's in it. Nobody knows what's in this vaccine. I mean, we don't. I mean, we shouldn't pretend that we do. But anybody with common sense should be a little bit dubious about the fact that they want you to take it so bad. They're starting up lotteries. You know, if you will register you to win $1 million if you will just take the vaccine. They really, really want you to take it. I mean, that right there should be like, I don't know, a red warning flag. I don't know. But people, I don't know, people, the true believers, the mask wearers. And you have these different variants of mask wearers, you know? Like the mask wearer that's by themselves on a country road pedaling their bicycle and they got their mask on. They might infect the birds. They might infect the birds with the deadly, deadly virus. I don't know how people don't get it. I don't know how people are not like at least a little bit skeptical. I don't know. If there are severe side effects, we're going to get a culling. I guess there is that. Maybe that's going to be nature's way of balancing things out, you know? There'll be a big culling. Let's keep going. Grandpa Dan, I wanted to say thank you for being a truth teller. When you brought up fornication, which I only learned what it really meant a year or two ago. Sven was on with a man named William Fink, and they were talking about it. I was shocked. And the bad thing is, you don't know what you don't know. So when you talked about the church being fornicators, that made a lot of sense. People do need to get out of debt. You have a lot more money if you're not paying interest. I hope this finds you well. My prayers are with you, Debbie. And yeah, the debt thing, yeah, I think the two best things a person could do, and hopefully if you've been working on it for a while, is to be as far away from the cities as you can, but to get out of debt. Being out of debt, debt is slavery. It really is. This usury scheme that this entire nation basically runs on, it really is a form of slavery. It's no wonder they continue to try to keep people whipped up about the blacks in slavery, because they don't want any of the people, black, white, yellow, whatever, realizing that they're running a slavery scheme right now. It's called usury. It's called this debt. They're trying to, they've got the entire population enslaved. Unfortunately, their usury scheme demands that it continuously expands. And the population as a whole is tapped out. They can't go into any more debt. But it's up to you. The thing is, if you don't get a debt, or if you pay your debts off, you pay your bills off and stay out of debt. And look, I get it. I live in the real world, been there, done that. One thing that's really helped me is that long before I had trouble in my life, lost my job, tribulation, I've been working on paying debts off, and that really has come through for me. I live like, I was telling somebody IRL yesterday, we were talking about something similar to this, and I said, you know, I live, if you looked at the numbers of what I live on, I'm well below the government's poverty line, and yet I'm doing all right. Most of the time, I'm doing all right. I know, sometimes it's a little tight, but, you know, by and large, I'm doing all right, and yet I live below the poverty line. Well, why is that? Because I have very little debt. What debt I have is debt that's finishing paying off. The best way to look at this, because what will happen to people, you get in this short-term mindset, you know, like, oh, you got say you got a $2,000 tax return. You know, you don't make a lot of money, so you, one of these people, you get a tax refund. Maybe you hadn't even paid in $2,000, but you get a $2,000 tax refund, and you're so used to skimping by and living just you know, check to check, which is just the most exhausting. There is no more exhausting way to live your life than check to check. I spent years doing that. I spent years living that way. You know what I'm talking about. Well, let's see, if I mail this check on Wednesday, it ain't going to get there before Friday. And it's due on Friday. And even if it's Monday, they'll give me a little leeway. And I get paid on Friday. And I can run down to the bank and get that check in the bank. And it'll all be covered. And you know what I'm talking about. Living your life that way. It is exhausting. And what happens is you get a little money. You get $2,000 tax refund. And you're looking at that $2,000 tax refund, and you don't think about, well, how can I use this to better my life? You're just, it's just like finally getting to lay down and take a rest. You've been living this exhausting lifestyle of check to check to check to check, and you don't have enough money, and you're going to have to use your credit card to buy freaking groceries this week. It's exhausting. Now you got money in the bank, and now you can live like normal people for a couple of weeks. Then the money's gone. You don't have any idea where it went. But it's hard to take, as you are so exhausted, it's hard to take that $2,000 and do something positive with it. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to do that because you're exhausted. You just want a breather. Just want a breather from that. Here's the best way to view this. Because in clown society, you ain't getting no raise at your job no more. That's those days are over. You ain't getting no job. You ain't getting no raise at your job. You take that $2,000 and say you've got a debt that you can pay off with that, and say that debt costs you $150 a month. I'm just grabbing numbers here. Bear with me. It'd be hard to do that because it's like, yeah, $150 a month, but you know, I'm exhausted because I've been living check to check, check, check. The way to look at that is you pay that debt off, and it takes discipline. You're going to have the self-discipline. You got into debt. You got buried into debt because you lacked self-discipline. You know, I understand. I mean, sometimes you ain't got no choice. You got to have groceries and you're broke. You got to feed your family. You got to do what you got to do. And that credit card may be the only way you can do it. I get that. I'm not sitting here acting like I'm up on a pedestal talking down to you. I understand. Been there, done that. I live in the real world with all of the rest of you. Here's the thing. The $150 a month, that is giving yourself a raise. You take that $2,000 instead of, like, you know, just using it to be, you know, live a normal life, because that's going to run out. But if you pay that debt off, now you gave yourself a $150 a month raise. Now, your boss at your job ain't giving you no $150 a month raise. But you can give that raise to yourself. See, when you view it, when you get this mental picture, when you get this attitude that you're paying yourself, I paid this bill off. You ain't paying off Visa. You ain't paying off Citibank. You are paying yourself. They hate me, by the way. I'm the worst credit card customer in the world. Why? Because I have stuff that auto bills on my credit card, you know, but I pay the whole thing off every month. So they have to deal with it. They have to send me a bill. They got to sit here and process it. They got to do all of this shit. They process the payments and pay the payments and then send it. And they don't make any interest on it because I pay the whole thing off every month. It's just a convenience thing for me. It's my little way of sticking it to the man. No, but what the hell was I even saying? I got off on, yes. You can give yourself a raise. Now, that only works if you don't run out then and go, you, because I know people like this. Wow, they take that money. They pay off their Visa card with it. And what do? They go back out and run that sumbitch up again. They do just bigger than shit. They turn around and run out there and run that damn thing up again. It only works if you don't run it up again. Otherwise, you're just chasing your tail. If you're trying to pay off a credit card, quit using that sumbitch. No, I'm serious. Because you might be thinking, oh, well, my minimum payment's $50 a month. I'm paying $100 a month on that credit card. Good on you. I mean, that's the best you could do. Good on you. It's not the way I would do it, but good on you. The problem runs in, you're still using it. So you sitting there going like, well, I'm paying $50. I'm paying double the minimum payment. I'm going to pay this thing off. But then you hit that little column that says charges this month, $75. So let's see, the minimum payment is 50, and that's just the interest. You threw another 50 on that thinking I'm paying it off because my minimum payment's only the interest, but I'm paying another $50 off. This is absurd, the amount they're allowed to charge. But over here, you're still using it. When you add all of that up, it's $75. You're still in the hole. You're still digging yourself down in the hole. Got to stop using it. You will never, ever, ever, ever pay that credit card off if you keep using it. You got to say, even if all you can do is make the minimum payment, stop using it. You know, like the saying goes, if you realize you're in a hole, quit digging. That's the first thing you got to do. Quit digging. You might haven't figured out a way you're going to get out of the hole yet. That's all right. But you got to stop digging. Every time you use that credit card, you're digging. You're digging the hole. Give yourself a raise. When you think of it as you're giving yourself a raise. And another way you can approach this is when you pay that debt off, it's $150 a month now that's not going out. Keep that bill wrote down. And every month when that bill would normally be due, pull that $150 out in cash and put it away somewhere, put it in an envelope or just put it over in a savings account or whatever is your thing. Put that money back, literally pay yourself. And then you can see it, you know, after 2 months goes by and you're like, oh yeah, you look at that, you got $300. And guess what? If something does come up, that normally you'd have to grab that Visa card because I don't have the cash this week. And, I don't know, I got to buy a new tire for the car. Well, guess what? Now you got $300 that you saved back. It feels a lot better to peel off greenbacks or to use your Visa check card that's just money out of your checking account, not debt. It feels a lot better to do that than to run up a credit card. Now, anyway, I got off on a tangent. Appreciate it. But no, it is. It's got to get yourself out of debt. It's slavery. They go on about slavery. We got to think about the 1800s when the blacks were slaves. Don't mind that we're all slaves under the usury scheme. It's just what degree you are a slave. How much debt do you have? They're worried about the blacks while they promote more blacks taking the vaccine. I do got one more listener supporter. We're gonna save that for the sermon later on. It's of a Christian nature, so we're gonna use that for our Christian specific segment. So on that note, we're moving on from the listener supporter mailbag, just continuing to truck right along. It's amazing how far down we've gone. You'd thought somebody, you know. We have this wonderful democracy system, only it's not. We have this middle management. Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, it's horrible. I would prefer an actual democracy. Like, oh, well, I don't know. We want to start another war in the Middle East, but before we do that, we have to put this vote to the people. Let's see what the people are going to vote. They wouldn't get any of that crap. We're going to shut the economy down and force everybody to stay in their house and wear a mask. But first, because we live in a democracy system, the people are going to get a vote. Isn't it funny how they pick and choose? They bitch about like the electoral college. The electoral college needs to be done away with. It's not real democracy because you could have like the vast majority of the people vote for one candidate, but the electoral college, it votes for this other guy's not real democracy. Well, then why don't we have just do away with the middlemen? It's not like we don't have the technology. Why don't we just do away with the middlemen altogether and let the people vote for whatever laws you want to pass? Oh, no, no, no. No, no, we can't have that. You got to get the democracy good and hard. And it's a special kind of democracy where you don't actually get what you want and you don't actually get a say in what happens. And if you don't like it, you can vote for another guy who's still not going to do. And no matter how many people you vote in and vote out, everything still goes the same. Where's the opposition? Oh, where are the conservatives? The conservatives. One thing, you know, of course, we know there is no mass death from this doom virus because the overall death numbers, that's not saying nobody has died from quote unquote the virus, but see, the overall death numbers have remained unchanged. That means people that were essentially dying from the flu and other respiratory viruses that we get every year, the same amount of people roughly are dying from this. glean this from their own statistics. We know this. But if there is one thing that I'm hoping does die as a result of the virus or one, and that's conservatism. Oh, I hate conservatism. I really do. I hate it. Now, don't get me wrong. If you talk to a run-of-the-mill person and they want to identify that they're not, I don't know, a purple-haired, screaming, Antifa lefty, whatever the hell you want to call it, they will say, I'm a conservative. You know, I'm a conservative. I'm talking about conservatism as like some sort of, I don't know, political philosophy that isn't real. I'm talking about these conservative leaders. What is conservatism? Is conservative. I saw an article the other day. Paul Ryan has crawled out of the woodwork, one of those guys that nobody ever liked. He was the Speaker of the House, and he ran as on the vice presidential part of the Mitt Romney ticket. You remember, you know Mitt Romney, that asshole that votes with the Democrats every time. And he doesn't even pretend. I don't even know why he runs as a Republican. He was Mitt Romney's running mate, the ever popular Mitt Romney. And I read an article that Paul Ryan's crawled out of the woodwork and is talking about, we need to get back. We need to forget about Trump. Well, I'm fine with forgetting about Trump. It is time to move on from that. But anyway, he said, we need to get back. We need to get back to what are conservative principles. Conservative principles is like white supremacy. Nobody can ever define what the hell it actually is. What are these so-called conservative principles? He went on in the article to say, it's important as conservatives that we don't get hung up, as he put it. We don't get hung up on every social issue that comes up. I don't know that conservatism has ever gotten hung up on a social issue ever. Once in a while, they'll give some lip service to a social issue, but I've never, ever seen them. It's like the meme. What has conservatism ever actually conserved? Because I don't see much. They're actually trying to get people to buy back into this shit. I don't know. Maybe I have too much faith in people. I might. I had somebody tell me the other day, they gave me because Q hasn't died. I thought it had. I thought Q was gone. I thought Q had finally died. That was one good thing that came out of it. The Q-ness is gone. The Q-ness is gone. Somebody say, well, you just wait when the storm comes and the plan comes together. And Trump gets back from his expeditionary force unseating the Chinese communist government and comes back and in a glorious parade in Washington, D.C., then you're going to know. Well, you know, hey, I don't know. No, I but people still believe. I had somebody tell me the other day, they whipped out the Q line and said, you know, because I see these things on the internet, but it's funny when somebody brings it up IRL. And somebody say, you know, the military's running the government right now. The military's running the government right now. And my response to that, and yes, you're free to share this. You're free to steal my material in this case. My response to that, whenever somebody tells you the military, looks around and tells you the military's actually running the government, because you know you're getting a cue line here. Your true response, because we're truth tellers, we hold to the truth as part of this congregation. Your response should be is what my response is. Well, if they are, I hope not. And when they say, well, what do you mean? Why do you hope not? Well, because if the military is running the government, they're doing a really shitty job. What the hell? I mean, look around at this shit show. You tell me the military is secretly running the government. So they're the ones responsible for screwing things up this bad. That's breathtaking. It takes people back. No, real things back in. Maybe I'm having, my point with that was, maybe I have too much faith in people, in humanity. But I do want to believe that people have enough sense. They're not going to get reeled back in to conservatism. Hey, you're better off in Q land. You're better off staying holding to the plan than falling for conservatism. Sad, sad. People falling. People so desperate. They fall for anything. They just want to believe in something. They just want to believe that somehow things aren't as bad as they obviously are. Oh, people don't fall for the conservative thing again. Paul Ryan, oh, we got to get back to our conservative principles. What is that? Well, the one thing he said was in some year when he was in the House of Representatives, they passed tax cuts for corporations. That was it. Conservative principles. So next time you get one of those, like, you got a local congress, some guy that's running for congress, he's the real conservative candidate for your district. And you get a chance to go meet and greet with this guy. And he's like, you can do that on the local level. You know, you got some asshole with his polished hair and his fake smile. And he's out there shaking hands. Hey, you know, if it's really bad, be like Mitt Romney when he went to Ohio and he's walking around up there with a pair of brand new jeans and a flannel shirt. Like he's one of the people, you bang capital looking son of a bitch. Anyway, back in the day, they would have tarred and feathered his ass. But, you know, you get your chance, you meet and greet. And you say, hey, he's the conservative. Are you the conservative candidate? Yes, I am. What are these conservative principles? You uphold conservative principles? Yes. What are those? Put them on the spot. What are the conservative principles? Well, tax cuts for corporations and never-ending support for Israel. Well, it's funny because the Democrats continue to basically do the same thing. They give lip service about the tax cuts to corporations, but at the end of the day, the corporations still ain't paying no taxes. And both parties are going to do the never-ending support for Israel. So again, what are these conservative principles? You realize how conservatism is such a loser thing. Why? Because conservatism always ends up being this defensive thing because they always concede the opposition's initial point. You know what I'm saying? A good example of this, I was reading an article the other day. And it was some nonsensical thing about the man-made climate change. And, oh, this great victory, this great stride forward is being made to stop the, which means, of course, it's going to make our lives shittier, gas more expensive, the usual stuff. But it was this article about great strides forward being made in fighting against the weather changing. And surprisingly, there were comments at the bottom of this article. And it's surprising because, like, this was on Yahoo News. And Yahoo News has this weird thing. Like, they shut all of their comments off on articles, just like everybody else has. But once in a while, you'll get this random article that allows comments. Now, normally, when I see that, I know it's going to, you know, they have it lined up to where it's going to be spammed with narrative comments. You know, but this time it was spammed with conservative shilling. And it just amazing. This is just a perfect example of how conservatism works because, you know, it has this whole thing. And conservatives, you know, you take an article like this. Oh, great strides forward are being made in the fight against global climate change made by people having cars and living a comfortable lifestyle. Great strides forward, which if we're changing the weather because we live comfortably and have a decent home to live in and a decent lifestyle, then they're saying, by definition, they want to combat that. They want to destroy your comfortable way of living. They want to destroy any sort of comfortable lifestyle you have. But you see these conservative shills hop in the comments. And word for word, every single one of them, what's their response? What's their response? Oh, yeah? What about China? What about China? They're the biggest polluters. Ha, ha, ha. You're talking about climate change, but y'all aren't doing anything about China and India. They're the two biggest polluters. They do not have the one thing you can rest assured. And again, when I say conservatives, I'm not talking about people, you know, run-of-the-mill people, because you run in people like they just want you to know that they like not a believer in the narrative. You know, they might be a big no masker and they'll say I'm a conservative because they don't have another word for it. I'm talking about, you know, conservatives. You know the difference. Anyway, they don't have the balls. They do not have the balls to say in the comments. Of course, maybe Yahoo wouldn't allow those comments. I don't know. But they do not have the balls to say climate change is a hoax. You know, that's my response. You read an article like this, and if I was allowed to comment on it, if we were allowed to be on social media, the response would be, it's a hoax. And you know it's a hoax. Everybody knows it's a hoax. You call it out for what it is. Conservatives don't do that. Conservatives, oh yeah, what about China? What about China and India? They're the biggest polluters. What are you going to do about them? You're owned by the Chinese. Joe Biden government. They're puppets of the Chinese commies. Oh gosh. Oh, that just wears me out. The government is currently, you know, I don't think Trump was like trying to gin up a war with China. I think he was just mostly trying to redo the trade deals, and that's fine. I mean, that's what a government's supposed to do. I It's a little too little. It was too little too late, in my opinion. But now you have the Biden-Harris administration. It's not Joe Biden doing anything. He don't know whether he's horseback or afoot. But you have the Joe Biden administration essentially on overdrive to whip up war with China and Russia. And you still have conservatives running around going, ho, ho, Joe Biden, he's owned by the Chinese commies. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. He's whipping up a war, basically trying to whip up a war with China. I saw somebody the other day. I was read a comment online the other day, and I was just taken aback. I really was. And the commenter said something along the lines of, oh, well, you could say something about the Jews and, you know, yeah, they might bring a social mob, you know, and harass you online or whatever. But if you say anything about the Chinese or the Chinese communist government, you're going to get a knock on the door and that shit's going to stop right now. And I'm paraphrasing. It was something along that lines. And I'm like, in what world? In what world do you live in? When? Point an example, please. I'd like to know. I'd like to know an example to when you get a knock on the door because you're talking about China. Because if you go to normie social media where there may be anybody left, I don't know. Is there anybody left on there? And you can shill anti-China shit all day long. These conservatives, oh, China. Every conservative, mainstream conservative media outlet is bashing and trying to whip up their right on. But just another shocking surprise. They're on the same war bandwagon against China and Russia as the Democrats are, as the quote unquote liberals are. And by the way, I made the distinction between people you run into that say they're conservative. Same thing. I imagine the average person you ran into that, you know, might say they are a liberal. I doubt they really want a war with China. I doubt they're sitting around going, we really need a war with China. Talking about these establishment figures, the middle management that we have, that you see in the government and those that pull the strings behind. Every mainstream conservative media outlet is shilling the same war with China that the left wing, these supposedly left wing media, they're all on the same page. What a shock. I guess that's more of those conservative values. But somehow you've got all of these media outlets. You got all these people shilling this anti-China, the Chinese, the Chicoms, them evil chinks. They're obviously not getting knocks on the door. They're obviously not getting insured. They're not getting swarmed. They're not losing their jobs for talking about the Chinese government, the Chinese communist government. It's so silly. It's so silly. Yes, all of these people have been mass banned from social media for talking. It's like they take Jews and just substitute them with Chinese. I'm sorry. Because I mean, you know for a fact, you go on social media. Spend a week talking about the Chinese. Keep it truthful. Whatever truthful criticism you have, I don't know what that would be exactly, but whatever. Talk about how bad it is that they don't allow gay anal or something. I don't know. Whatever you can whip up as criticism, legit criticism of the Chinese, and then spend the next weeks with legit criticism about the Jews or about Israel. See which one is going to get you banned faster. This nonsense of dim evil chinks. Well, you're going to get a knock on the door and told to knock that off if you're going around criticizing dim evil chinks and the Chinese communist government. The Chinese communist government. Oh, goodness. Conservatism is a brain dead philosophy. I guess the idea is just to present that as the only alternative to being part of the globalist faction. I don't know. How would it be any better? Because you get the same outcome. Hey, you might as well join the globalist faction. You might as well join the globalist faction. At least you'll catch less static because the conservative shit, they're just going on in the same thing. Chill for some war with China. What about them chinks? It's their argument with the free speech, too. You know, they don't have the balls to say nobody should be banned, you know, as long as you're being legal, you know, nobody should be banned from Twitter or Facebook or social media for their speech because it's politically incorrect. No, they can't say they don't have the balls to say it. Their reaction is always what?
Oh, yeah? Well, looky here. This Muslim over here is criticizing the Jews. How come you're not banning him, huh? Huh? How come this liberal over here, how come you're not banning them? How come you're not banning them?
They do not have it in them to say, how come we don't have free speech? How come we don't have free speech? Well, you keep telling us we have the freedoms. No, their argument is always, how come you're not doing it to them too? They can't sit there and say, because if they had a principle, they would say, well, I'm for free speech. I don't care if it's a swarmy lefty that, you know, believes in every globalist agenda from climate change to the deadly virus. And I don't think they should be banned. I don't care what kind of nonsense they believe. They shouldn't be banned. But the conservative, they lose every time. Because they concede that point. They concede the starting point of their opponents.
Okay, I'll give you the climate change is real. But what about China, huh? 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 You gonna stop China? You gonna stop China from polluting? Huh? I didn't think so. Why? Because you're probably owned by the chinks.
Just say it. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. Of course China's not going on with it. Why? Because they're not freaking retarded. Oh, you kind of commit big hoax. We don't go along with. China's also not doing the retarded mask regime. They're not doing the retarded virus regime. And look, this is the most populous nation. Billions of people. Billions of people in China alone. Man, their death toll should be through the roof. Oh, wait, no, it's not. And they're not running around in the masks any more than they ever did. I mean, it's always part of Asian culture. If you're sick, you put a mask on. It's a courtesy thing. But that's part of their culture. They're not running around doing extra mask wearing. They're not wearing three masks. I think Fauci backed off from that because it did look absurd. You put two masks on, it's even better. Let's see what they say with that. And I think everybody's kind of like, we got to back off of that one. That's just kind of silly. By the way, now they're back to, they've recycled the thing where it's the China virus. Now, doesn't matter who's running it. Team R, Team D. When Team R was in charge, Team D criticized them for calling it the Kung Flu, the China Flu, the Wuhan virus. Oh, that's evil. It's racist. Now that Team D is supposedly in charge, of course, the big dirty secret is the same people in charge regardless. They've switched out middle management again, and Team D is allegedly in charge. And now we ain't even, what? We're 6 months in. We're 6 months into the middle management change, and now they've gone full circle, and they're going, well, we don't know. It may have come from a Chinese lab, them evil chinks. But hey, I guess it's something that conservatives will once again be able to reach across the aisle as part of their conservative principles or something. Conservative principles. Conservatism cannot die. It really can't. It cannot die soon enough. And they're trying to revive it. They're trying to revive it. They got to have somebody. I think that's why they're dragging Paul Ryan back out again, because right now, like, the flag bearer for conservatism is Mitt Romney. And everybody hates that guy. Everybody hates that guy. I don't know what the hell is wrong with people in Utah. Mormons must be retarded. Well, I know elections are fraud, so that may be. Those people may not even be voting for this asshole. It's just they all be rigged. I don't know. Because you got two choices. Either they're rigging the election so that he gets reelected, or so he gets reelected, he gets elected to office. So it's either that, or Mormons are so freaking retarded that they will vote for this guy just because he's a Mormon. It's one of those two things, and neither one of them is very encouraging. But you got your standard flag bearer of conservative principles, Mitt Romney, which literally everybody hates. See, it was John McCain. Everybody hated John McCain, but now he's gone, thank goodness. And so the standard bearer now is Mitt Romney. So maybe they're trying to have somebody a little more likable, but he's not any more likable. But he likes that sumbitch neither. So anyway, yeah, if you got a choice, if you have to be retarded one way or the other, and your choice is to be retarded enough to buy back into my conservative principles, or be retarded to go along with, you know, the QAnon, Trump is on a secret mission right now to unseat the Chinese communist government, and then he's going to bring his Marine battalion to Washington, D.C. and take over and take everybody Guantanamo Bay and restore the Republic of the 1700s, which, of course, never mind the fact that would mean we no longer have, like, voting for everybody. We no longer have women voting, blacks voting. We don't have... Wow. Only people voting are landowning, people that own a certain amount of property. The Senate's not voted on by the people. It's voted on by the states, and the states actually basically run their own thing. That's going to be an awesome thing.
Well, we're not for any of that. I'm about getting back to what the founders established. Good. Women won't be voting. Thank goodness. No, well, wait a minute. That's a little far out there. Good. The government will print the money. We'll literally be in charge of the money supply instead of the Federal Reserve, instead of the big banks. Whoa, easy now. Easy now. Back to the government of 1700. I'm for what the founders established. Good. The founders would have never, ever sent money to Israel. They wouldn't have been shipping money to another country overseas. Whoa, easy now. Easy now. I never know. They always, because that's one of the conservative things. We're going to get back to what the founders established. And you start naming off what that would entail. No, we don't want that. Don't want non-equality for women. We don't want to get back to the patriarchy. We don't want to get back to pre-civil rights era. We don't want to get back to no immigration. Because, you know, conservative principles is bringing in the whole world. Just be sure they have the right paperwork. We can't have these people coming across the water without the paperwork. They got to have the right paperwork. But then all the immigration is okay. You start naming off what they always have. We'll get back to what the final. What I guess the only thing would mean is they would be going around wearing those wigs. They'd be wearing the white wigs. That would be funny. I would be all for that. That'd be funny as hell. You'd know what conservatives. There they go. Here's the conservatives. And they walk into Congress and they're wearing the white wigs. They're wearing the white wigs. Why in the hell was that a thing? I don't know. They're wearing the white wigs. Then we could see who they were. We could see who they were if they wore the, because that would be it. We want to get, whenever a conservative says, I want to get back to what the founders intended, and you start naming off what that would mean. Great. No more women voting. Yes. Yes. No more civil rights laws. Yes. Now you can actually like have whoever the hell you want in your business. Yes. No federal income tax. Yes. Now no standing army. Yes. No foreign aid to Israel or anybody else. Yeah. And watch them just start turning pale. No, 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 no. We got to have my female equality. We got to have my St. Martin Luther King. Well, then what do you want? Here's your wig. Here's your wig. That's the only thing of the founding fathers the conservatives actually want to get back to. They can wear the damn wig. We got to wrap up, get into our Christian specific segment. We're going to run long. I can tell it. We're going to get into our Christian specific segment. So you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as we get settled in, as I alluded to earlier, we're going to use a listener question comment here. Listener supporter comment to head off into our sermon this week. So let's just go ahead and get right into that. Dan, in Romans chapter 12, verse 14, it states, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Can you make common sense out of this, please? To me, it's giving pearls to swan. Your fine feathered friend in Christ, Birdman. Well, that's not a problem. We can do that. It's easy when you're reading, if you're reading your Bible, you'll catch yourself. We all do it. We've all done it at some point. And you'll hit a verse like this. And this is one of those pretty common ones that comes up. It's right up there with turn the other cheek and these sorts of things. And you'll hit a verse and you don't understand it. And you have to always understand, this is a matter of not understanding it. Because if anything, as I always say, if anything you read in your Bible runs counter to the natural order, runs counter to the way this world is designed to work, then you're pretty good guess that you're just simply not understanding it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's important to understand that because God designed the natural order. God created this realm that we're in right now. He created the natural order, so he cannot run counter to that which he created, if that makes any sense to you. So it's easy to get hung up, and I know what happens because we've all done this. You'll run it and you'll hit that line. And you'll understand it. And what do? You sit there and you'll read it over and over and over and over. And you're trying to read that line and understand it. Well, why does it say, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would I just go around blessing, bless you? But it just seems fake and gay because you don't really feel that way, right? If you're sitting there, somebody's being a real asshole to you. And you're sitting there and you're like just gritting your teeth. You know, it's like, I want to punch this guy in the mouth. And you're like smiling, bless you. Bless you. That's fake and gay. And God's not fake and gay. God's not.
I'm making light, but the point is there's only truth in the Lord. And if you're walking in the path of the Lord, you're walking in the path of truth. So you can't sit there and do a lie. You can't sit there and be double-faced and be like, bless you. And you're thinking like, that's being fake. That's a lie. You can sit here and promote a lie. So it's safe to say we don't understand this. The best thing you can do, because this isn't going to be the only time any of you are going to run into something, it's like, I don't understand this, and you get hung up. The worst thing you can do is sit there and read that one verse over and over and over again. It's not going to change if you read it 50 times. It's not going to change if you read it 100 times. The best thing you can do is back up and read and get some more context. Back up and read. You know, take it in with the whole message. Don't get hung up on the one verse. Look at everything else that's said behind it and after it, and start trying to look at that in the context of the big picture to understand what's being presented here. In this case, we're going to take back off from Romans 12, 14. We're going to do Romans 12, 9, all the way to the end of the chapter to 21. And as we go through this, try to keep an eye on the big picture. Of course, obviously, we're going to run through that verse, but don't hang up on that verse. Look at what we're saying right before it and right after it. And then we're going to get into this and kind of break this down to make it a little more common sense, understanding it. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, let's stop there for just a second. If you're just going around supposedly blessing those who persecute you, well, but here in verse 9 before this, it says to abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So, in other words, you're supposed to hate that which is evil. I mean, you're not supposed to go around and promote evil. You're not supposed to go around and tolerate evil. If you abhor something, you have no tolerance for it. Abhor that which is evil. So, now, right off the bat, verse 9 is telling us that we're not supposed to go around and basically doing some kind of approval of that which is evil. We're supposed to abhor that which is evil. We're not supposed, not just... You know, you're supposed to not tolerate. You're not supposed to just go along with it and it's all okay. So right here in verse 9, it's telling us abhor that which is evil. Continuing on verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now he's going in just how you're supposed to live your life. And he's talking about amongst the brothers here. And this is how you're supposed. It's a big picture of how you live your life. He's starting to present a big picture of a man. This is what a man with honor looks like. And this is important because we live in a time there aren't hardly. There's basically nobody left that lives a life of honor. We live in absurd clown world and basically everybody is subverted. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Again, this is a big picture. This is what a righteous person, this is how somebody who's striving to live in the Lord, this is what they look like. This is what they do. Let's continue on. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Remember this one. Verse 17, we just hit here. Again, I'm going to repeat this. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That directly relates back to the verse you're hung up on. And we're going to go ahead and finish this up. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Again, this one bears repeating. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. He's saying here, it's not always going to be possible. But as far as your part, do your best to live peaceably with it. But don't be one of these people that goes around causing contention, causing strife, causing problems everywhere. As far as it goes with you, Do the best you can to live peaceably. Now, let's go ahead and, like I said, I was going to finish this out, and I keep getting hung up here. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And the final coup de grace here, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the very last verse 21, I'm going to rephrase it for you a little bit, and hopefully maybe, you know, it'll be a little clearer. Because it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I'll say, do not be overcome by evil. Do not let the evil overcome you, but overcome the evil with good. So as we look at this, in the bigger picture context, because all of these words, all of these verses before that one, and all of the verses after that one, they matter just as much as that one. That one stands out because it seems contradictory, but it doesn't if you look at it in the context of everything else. He's painting a picture of how a righteous man lives his life, and he finishes off with, don't let evil overcome you. You see, it can be real tempting to become as evil and as wicked as those who are persecuting you. Then you've allowed what? You've allowed the enemy a victory over you because you became just like the shitheads that you're complaining about. Now, let's look at these words here. Persecute. Let me ask you a question. If somebody goes in and murders a family of four while burglarizing the house, and the police catch him, and they put him on trial, and he's convicted, and he's guilty, and he gets convicted to life in prison or the death penalty, whatever, they send him off to prison. Now, let me ask you, is that man persecuted? Has the state persecuted that man? Well, in clown world, apparently it depends. They might say, yes, he's simply being persecuted. But no, we know that's not the case. That man's not persecuted. That is what justice is. He committed a crime. He murdered this family, burglarized their home. He was caught. He was convicted. He's not being persecuted. That's justice. That's not persecution. Persecution would be being attacked, being slandered. It's going to be the opposite of what we just described here. It is injustice. If somebody brings accusations against you or brings charges against you that are false, if they bear false witness, if they bring charges and slander you and drag you through the mud and try to get the authorities whipped up against you, this is persecution because it's not just. It's not just. They're slandering you. They're attempting to cause you problems. They're attempting to get you in trouble because they just don't like you. That's persecution. Now, we know the Bible is a call to action. So when it says to bless those that persecute you, he's not talking about just bless you. Bless you. That's like I said before, that's fake and gay. That's just empty words. You don't mean that. You know, why would you do that? Why would you sit there and throw a bunch of flowery words and be fake about that? So, but blessing is action. So I think a better way to understand this is, okay, if somebody is persecuting, that means what? It means they're lying about you. They're slandering you. They're making false accusations about you. They're committing injustice against you. Now, should you turn around then and lie about them? Should you slander them? Should you commit an injustice back against them? Or should you look at the bigger context of what's presented here as we read these other verses and continue to hold your head up high, continue to walk in dignity? If somebody says, man, I heard that, you know, that guy that's been giving you that hard time and talking shit about you. And then you'd be like, yeah, yeah. You know, I heard he had sex with his sister. Everybody's heard he's had sex with his sister. And you know, that's not right. You'd be sit there and go, yeah, you're right, man, because I don't like that somebody. I'm going to go around and tell everybody he's been laying with his sister. But that, no, that's a slander. You would know that's not. You'd be like, no, that's not true. I mean, I have my disagreements with this guy. He's a real asshole. But no, he's not having sex with his sister. Come on now. In other words, to bless in this context means that you continue to hold to justice. You continue to hold to truth. Because if they're persecuting you, it's injustice. So did you return that injustice with an injustice of your own? It says, don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. Were you going to overcome an injustice by whipping up some injustice of your own? No, as we use the prison illustration, is not persecution if somebody commits a crime and gets put in prison for it. That's justice. Likewise, you should not sit here and try to overcome an injustice with injustice of your own. That is allowing the evil to overcome you instead of overcoming the evil with good. In other words, you overcome the evil with good by holding to righteousness and holding to truth. I think it's worth revisiting verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Why? Because you've not been overcome by the evil. If they're committing an injustice, God is going to rectify that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That is pointed out here. The Lord cannot tolerate injustice. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. It just means you would do that for other people. If you treat other people correctly, even if they're assholes, you know, if you treat people fairly, you live your life to treat others fairly. Even though that guy might be a real asshole, you do your best to still treat that person fair. You don't go around and slander him. You don't cheat him. Oh, I'll cheat that guy. He's an asshole. He cheats everybody anyway. You don't do that. You live your life righteously. You hold fast to the truth. You walk upright. So I say it's important to read the context around it. When you get hung up on a verse like this, look at the bigger context. What is the message he's trying to say? From start to finish, what we covered, verse 9 through the end here, walk in an upright manner. Don't start thinking more of yourself than you ought to. Don't go around and just because people are assholes to you, don't start becoming an asshole to everybody else. If you allow evil to overcome you, then you've lost. If you get sucked in and you get so hung up on paying them back, that you become just as bad as they are. And that sounds, I don't want to sound like, you know, well, you know, if you just defend yourself against somebody that's attacking you, then you're just as bad as them. That's nonsensical. But it's talking about do not become deceitful as they are. Do not become wicked as they are. Do not become slanderous as they are. Do not spread and smear false rumors against them. Their own deeds will speak for themselves. You don't have to start there and become just like them and sit there and start making up lies. If it's true, then you can speak the truth about them. Well, what do you think of that guy? Well, he's a real asshole. Let me tell you why. It's the truth. If it's the truth, then it's fine. But don't go making up stories. He cheated with his neighbor's wife. No, that's not right. And you know what isn't right. If you treat people fairly, you heap burning coals on their head. Why? Well, because you're giving them the opportunity to see that, you know, hey, they remember, a lot of these people are just pawns. They're pawns. They don't even get that they're in a spiritual battle. They don't even understand when Satan's manipulating them. If you continue to carry yourself upright and you continue to treat people fairly, you give that person an opportunity to realize that they haven't treated you fairly and to repent. And which is take action and to do differently. Well, that's a win for you because then they'd quit giving you a hard time. Then they'd quit persecuting you. They'd quit their way of injustice. That would be great. But if they fail to do so, they cannot stand them before the Lord in judgment and say, well, this guy deserved it. It stands in contrast that you stood in righteousness. You treated that person fair. It doesn't mean, look, he's not saying you got to invite them into your house for supper. He's using an illustration here. It means you continue to treat people fairly, not just the people like you, because it's easy to treat the people that like you fairly, you know, just. It's easy to be just towards that are nice to you. It's easy to be fair with those that are nice to you. But what does that gain you? Anybody can do that. But to treat people justly, to treat people fairly that are assholes, that persecute you, that spread lies and rumors about you. This is what is difficult, and this is what's being illustrated here. That's what you got to do. You can't become like them. Doesn't mean you stand. Remember the very opening line, abhor that which is evil. Don't tolerate it. He's not telling you to tolerate the evil. It's a warning not to be overcome by the evil. This is how you don't overcome the evil. You don't get sucked into the mire. You stand up here on the dry land. You hold to your righteousness. You hold to the truth. You hold to justice. It's really quite simple. You treat people fairly. You walk in justice and truth as best you can. even though you don't like that guy. That's where it makes it difficult. Like I said before, anybody can treat somebody fairly that, you know, that you like, but you got to try to treat everybody fairly. Even if you've got a past beef with that person, that person has cheated you before. Doesn't mean be stupid and let them cheat you again. That's not what's being instructed here. As far as it goes with you, live peaceably with all men. As far as it goes with you. When you realize that guy's trying to loop you in and get you to give him money that he's not going to pay back again, no, dude, you know, come on, we're not doing that. It's not telling you to be foolish and just, you know, be run over. As far as it goes with you, live peaceably. Stand for justice. Don't get sucked into their way. Do not become the evil. Do not allow evil to overcome you. Because if you allow evil to overcome you, then you've lost. But overcome evil with good. I keep getting this picture in my mind, like your adversary is in a mire of hog shit, and they keep standing out there trying to sling the hog shit at you, and you're standing up here on dry land. You're up here outside of that. You're up here on a little hill, and they keep trying to sling this at you, and they're taunting you, and you, as long as you stay up here on the little hill, you're fine. Yeah, he can try to sling that at you and whatnot. But what he's ultimately trying to do is to get you in the hog shit with him. He's trying to get a hold of you. He's trying to get you to finally just get so mad. It's like, I'm coming in there and I'm whipping your ass. And you go wading off in the hog shit. And now you're both wallowing around in the hog shit. And you're both covered in hog shit from head to toe. And you're wallowing around. You're both stinking. And you're wallowing around. And even if you kick his ass, what have you gained? You kick his ass and you stop and you stand up and you look around and you're covered in hog shit from head to toe. You're the winner. Now, you could have stayed up there on the dry hill and let this idiot keep wallowing around in the hog shit. But no, you got overcome and you got lured in. You waded off into the mire. You waded off into the pen full of hog shit and wallowed around with him. You wallowed around with him. You could have stayed up there on the hill. It'd have been nice and clean. Sure, he's trying to sling it at you, but you wall it off in it. Don't wade off into the hog shit. Now you're just covered in hog shit. Now what are you going to do? So this, hopefully that's a way to, you know, better understand this. Most of the time, like I say, it's easy to get hung up on a single verse. And the worst thing you can do when that happens is sit here and read that one verse over and over as if somehow, you know, you're going to get a better understanding of it. Go back whenever you get hung up on a verse and read the bigger context and try to understand what's he trying to say here. Because this verse by itself, yeah, it can look kind of confusing, hard to understand. But as we did today, and I think it's important to understand this, because again, you can apply this any other time you get hung up. You know, look before, you know, start reading beforehand and read after and try to look at the big picture. What is he trying to say here? What is he trying to, what message is he conveying? Well, the overall message is this is how you conduct yourself. If people start saying, hey, you're doing an awesome job, you're doing great and everything, that's all fine. But don't start thinking more of yourself than you ought to. Don't start thinking you're better than the brothers that are of a lower position. Don't start thinking you're all that. Don't get full of yourself. Continue to treat people fairly. Whether anybody's looking or not, it's an outline of how to live a righteous life. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Don't wade off in the hog shit. Stay up on the hill. You will overcome it if you stay up on the hill. Don't wade off in and wallow around with them. That's not going to get you anywhere. Now you're just at their level. You're covered in hog shit just like they are. And who won that deal? Whether you kicked the guy's ass or not, if his ultimate goal was to get you in the hog shit, he won. That's the way to understand these things. Look at the bigger picture. Look at the overall message that Paul's conveying here. And it really makes sense. And again, don't be fake and gay. Blessing is not sitting here saying a bunch of words you don't mean. That's a lie. It's fine to say what you mean. What matters is your actions. How you treat people. Treat people fairly. It's an action. It's the deeds you take. It's not saying a bunch of fake words that you don't mean. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him even though I don't love him and I can't stand it. That's a lie. That's not what God is telling you to do. It's your deeds. It's your action. How are you a blessing for that person? Well, you're treating them fairly. You're treating them fairly. You're not You're not slandering them. You're not trying. You're not waiting off in the hog shit. You're standing up here. You're conducting yourself the way you ought to. You continue to walk that path. You're not getting distracted. You're not getting pulled to the left. You're not getting pulled to the right. You're walking in the path that the Lord has set before you. Whether somebody's looking, whether somebody's not looking, whether you're dealing with somebody that has a higher authority, more money, more power than you, you treat them the same way as if you run into a brother down here who's barely making by, works a shit job, but he's trying to walk in righteousness too. He's a brother in Christ, and you're trying to walk with him, and you treating him just as justly, just as fairly as you're treating this guy that has a high position. He's got money and he's got power. And you walk the same way. You walk the path of righteousness. This is how you conduct your life. It's really a very good set of verses that Paul lays out here. I mean, it's a very good roadmap. This is how you conduct yourself. So don't get hung up on this one verse because it seems, you know, it seems hard to understand, because it's not. When you look at it in the bigger picture, it really actually makes a lot of sense. So hopefully we made some sense. Hopefully we made some sense out of that. I appreciate it. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of times I get ready to do these shows and it's like, what's today's Christmas? What's our sermon going to be this week? And it's like, I don't know. I was going to rehash the nonsense of God bless America. I was going to rehash the nonsense of normie cons jabbering about God blessing America again. I mean, how many times have I gone on about that? Because it just triggers me. Can't stand it. Go by some places, got those little signs where they swap the letters, like God bless America. It's right up there with you. They'll usually, if you go by another week besides God bless America, they'll have, if you enjoy your freedom, thank our troops or something. It's just like, oh, I can't stand it. But I was just going to probably wind up rehashing that one again. So no, I appreciate this opportunity to to hopefully address something and maybe some of y'all might get hung up on. So anyway, it gives me subject matter, so do much appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and wrap up on that note. I do appreciate all of you stopping by. Once again, thank you for those of you who aren't shy and pay your tithes. It really makes a difference. That is much appreciated. And we're going to, like I said, we're going back on out here. Don't forget, I'm on Fridays on the Daily Nationalist with Sir Longshanks. It's always lively discussion. Don't want to miss that. And of course, we'll be back here right on Tuesday, right here at Radio Albion, for the Parish of the Patriots.